your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
David Britton.
Hi.
Hey, welcome along to the last edition of Spaced Out for 2019.
I know. All good things come to a temporary end.
Oh, yeah. Well, a Christmas holiday and back in the new year. Now, David, what was the first thing you wanted to tick off the list today? The space train, which I believe Big Hungry brought up last week.
Is it Santa or not?
Is it Santa? Only if you believe that South African billionaire could be Santa.
Actually, Elon Musk. I kind of do believe that, actually. I subscribe to that quite a bit.
Okay. You guys mentioned this.
He brings us so many good gifts.
Well, he does. I mean, I'm not dissing on him, but I still don't think he's Santa. this is called the Space Train. These are these satellites, the Starlink system that SpaceX is putting up into orbit. They put 60 up back in May.
60?
60.
Oh, my goodness. All in a row? Or
all
separate,
at once,
separate
yeah.
Trains?
Yep. Okay. And so when they were first launched, they sort of stick together close behind each other. So after sunset or before sunrise, when the sun is below the horizon, it'll light satellites up that are still in the shadow above the Earth's atmosphere. Mm. So they were seen going across, 60 of them. But as they get higher in orbit, they harder to see, and of course they can't be seen at night because it's all shadow. You need light on the satellite to reflect off it to actually see it. There are still 57 of those that are working. Three of them are defunct. So that's now 3 out of 60 don't work. They're dead pieces of junk up there. It did, though, was raise awareness amongst astronomers of just how bad this might be, because the thing is that SpaceX are going to be launching 60 of them like this, twice a month.
Okay.
Maybe once a week if they really get their act together. Every couple of weeks you've got another 60 up in orbit. Going through the same thing that they are seen when they're low down, eventually it could reach as much as 12,000 satellites.
Are there any rules to how much people can actually chuck up there, or do they actually pay a fee and that's it, or who do they pay the fee to? I've got a lot of questions here.
There are lots of rules, and they had to have certification permissions, like Rocket Lab in New Zealand. They couldn't just send rockets up.
Like you have to buy real estate up there?
Have all the right things. But as far as light pollution from a satellite, this is something new.
Mm.
And partly, many satellites aren't very big. They do have solar panels, which is the biggest surface area. But it's the number of them. And that's the real issue. Now, SpaceX have said that they are looking to address this. They say they want to do the right thing. I mean, they're saying all the right things, you know. They're saying, children, kids should be up, look through the telescopes. It'd be cool to see a Starlink satellite, but they should be looking at Saturn and the Moon. So, I mean, they seem to be understanding that something needs to be done. So the next launch will be at the end of this month, December 30, 31. And they've got a coating on the satellite, the underside of the satellite, that they're aiming to reduce the reflectivity of the satellite.
Who do they pay, though? Who's the boss of space? Where's the space office?
What do you mean? This is SpaceX. So this is Elon Musk.
Say I'm Elon Musk and I want to put 60 satellites up every week. Am I paying anything to anyone to do that? Or is it just like, sweet, I can do what I want up there, there's no rules?
No, they have to go through the right channels, with the FAA and things like that.
But, no, I don't know what they are. What's the FAA?
Well, there's a number of sides to it. I mean, there's the actual having something in orbit,
yep.
But then you've also got what is it doing. So if you're broadcasting, for instance, then you've got issues to do with the wavelength and the interference with other satellites. I mean, it's complex. These ones are for broadband.
Right.
So the idea is this will provide broadband pretty much like 99% of the world's population.
So that's quite radical. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's I guess maybe he cuts a deal, kind of, look, I'm doing all this good stuff, you know, let me do this, and blah, blah, blah. He gets to keep the data, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of planning goes into this, and they said the right permissions, but things still do turn up that are unexpected.
Mm.
I mean, another issue with this is if you've got so many satellites up there and, you know, 3 out of 60 don't work, there's 3 out of 60 that basically bullets waiting to hit something.
Ain't bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I mean, the working ones are really good. They've got little engines on them. They're called iron engines. So instead of having a chemical rocket, it heats up a gas and sends that gas out at a high speed. It's a very low thrust, but it does the job. And that's just the way the Hayabusa spacecraft that's at the asteroid Ryugu gets around the solar system. So they do have a certain amount of control, but obviously not in the ones that are defunct.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah, so let's hope they do sort this out. So the next launch in December, one of those 60 has this new anti-reflective coating. So this still leaves 179 in orbit without modification.
What's sort of the average price of these, do you think?
I don't think they make that known for commercial sensitivity, because there's other... groups that want to do similar things.
A couple of mil at least, surely.
Yeah, I mean, Amazon want to do something similar. Facebook aiming to do something.
Oh,
there's
wow.
already the Iridium satellite constellation. Okay. Globalstar, OneWeb, they want to do things like this as well. So, yeah, I think commercial sensitivity comes into play there.
Interesting, okay.
Now, David... we're going to run through some of the highlights of 2019. What have been the highlights of space?
Well, there have been a lot, but you'll try and keep this to a reasonable number. I mean, the beginning of the year, the spacecraft New Horizons went past the most distant object in the solar system. So that encounter with Ultima Thule showed us that it's two asteroids that joined together. What's happened just more recently, Ultima Thule, there was a name that was chosen by voting online.
Oh, no. Okay.
So now the International Astronomical Community has adopted a new name, which is Arrokoth.
Oh, yeah. It's not too bad, actually.
Yeah. Arrokoth is an Algonquin word. It's a language that is actually... It died out before 1800.
Roughly translates to stone that looks like butt?
No. Hold a sec. I'll just find the right area. It basically means sky, okay. And it's from the Algonquin Indian in Maryland and Virginia. But it's to pay homage to the idea of the inspiration of looking to the skies, wondering about the star and the worlds beyond, which is the same... thing that the scientists and the team around the New Horizons mission are doing. So that's sort of the background to it.
The Arrokoth.
You've got to say it like that. I think you've got to give it a bit of...
Well, they don't really know because the language died out.
Oh, interesting. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, cool.
The guy, the English writer, William Strachey, at the time tried to write it down, but he had bad handwriting apparently, so yeah.
Actually, the asteroid kind of looks like a snowman.
Yeah, that's what it was called, the duck at one point.
Okay.
Oh, the duck.
So the Opportunity rover on Mars, that mission ended last year in 2018. There was a big dust storm on Mars, and so it didn't get power to the solar panels, and it never recovered from that. So that mission, unfortunately, ended. So there's only one operating rover, that's Curiosity at the moment. It was the first image of a black hole.
Yeah, that's right.
That appeared during the year. There was
it looks
radio
suspiciously like
course.
Mordor, didn't it?
Sorry?
Looks suspiciously like Mordor from Lord of the Rings.
Well, again, you've got to remember that's in radio wavelengths, and you're not actually seeing the black hole itself because nothing comes out of a black hole, not even light. You're seeing the what's around it. So it's a donut-shaped material that's been drawn in by the gravity of the black hole. For the moon, good. There was the first soft landing on the far side by the Chinese spacecraft. Bad. Two crashed. That was Beresheet from Israel and the Vikram lander from India. So they both didn't make it.
Do they have people on them? No.
No.
Gee whiz.
No one's been back to the moon since 1972, I'm afraid.
Mm, mm.
And, of course, we had the 50th anniversary celebrations from the Apollo 11 moon landing. Yeah, so quite a bit going on at the moon, good and bad.
It's kind of it's the go-to place out in space for us at the moment.
When can we expect to see the dynamic Coca-Cola ribbon or perhaps the iPad logo on the moon?
Probably sooner than we ever hoped, actually. there was a total solar eclipse in Chile, which only a few people saw because it's a really remote spot.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturn, they discovered 20 moons that they didn't know were there before.
Holy crap.
So that brings Saturn's total to 82 moons.
I mean, calm down, Saturn, actually. Jeez. Eh? How many suns does Saturn have, though?
How many suns?
Just the one, isn't it?
Yeah, the same as us.
Just the one.
Yeah, so quite a bit going. There's a whole bunch of other stuff, but, yeah, got to keep to our time limit here, don't we?
Yeah, for sure. Now, what the heck is going on in the night sky at the moment? Obviously, you won't be able to see much tonight with this this weather we've got, but if, say, it should fine up miraculously, what should we be looking for?
Well, it's not just tonight, I think, you know, because our next show won't be till first week of January, so we've got 3 weeks. So over the next 3 weeks, after sunset, looking over towards the west, Venus, you can see close to the horizon, it's very bright. You can't really miss it. It'll still be there in 3 weeks' time. Okay, so Venus, you can rely on that being there for the next 3 weeks after sunset. Saturn is below it, much nearer the horizon. It's going to gradually disappear. It's going to move closer to the sun. So got only probably another week maybe of being able to see that. But you'd need a really low horizon. You can't have any hills or cloud in the way. In the morning, Mars is rising before the sun over in the east, and that'll get higher and higher and easier to see as the days and weeks go on. So if you're up in the morning before sunrise, Mars is the one to look for. And the other thing to remember is that the shortest night is coming up. The 22nd of December will be the shortest night. So, yeah, we usually call it the longest day, but from astronomy point of view, it's the shortest night. So from then on, the nights get longer, which is always good for looking at the night sky.
Ah, okay.
Do astronomers get a little bit pissed off that it's the shortest night of the year? Or are they grateful that it's a bit warmer when they go outside to look at the stars?
Yin and yang, I think. You've got to have the up and the down, don't you? Otherwise, it's just the same.
Well, that's right. And you just got to, I mean, if you're in the South Pole in Antarctica, you have 6 months where it's night all the time and 6 months where it's day all the time.
Save you complaining for when you pop down there, probably.
Yeah, so they have to plan their observations around that. Of course, if you're a radio astronomer, it makes no difference. You can make observations day or night.
Mm. Oh, for a radio telescope. Now, David, what is going on at the Stardome?
At Stardome, well, Christmas is the season, so we have a couple of shows about that. One called Let It Snow, which is a musical offering at 7 o'clock from Wednesday through to Sunday. For maybe a slightly younger audience, perhaps, at 8 o'clock, the same night, Wednesday to Sunday, we've got a Christmas edition of Our Night Sky. So this is the presenter-led show. It's not a pre-recorded show at all.
Santa's
so if you've got questions, the presenter can address any of those during the show. So the idea is the show highlights some of the things like what was the Christmas star, perhaps. There's actually a Christmas tree in the sky, a shape that looks like one, and a whole bunch of other things. And so it's like being under a snow globe, if you like. That's the sort of feeling you get inside the Planetarium Theatre, which has a dome all above and around you as you watch what's happening.
Oh, very nice, very nice. And any sort of Christmas gifts happening? Or any Christmas gifts up for grabs at the Stardome?
The Stardome shop is pretty full at the moment. Lots of things for scientists and stargazers and toy enthusiasts. readers, researchers, children, everyone in between. So plenty of things to find there, puzzles, toys, books, science kits, telescopes. It's open in the day, it's not just at night. So from tomorrow, from 10 till 5, it's open. I mean, there's an observatory as well, but we're just talking about the shop specifically here. And then it reopens at 6 p.m. and it's open till at least 9:30 p.m. Friday, it'll be open in the day, but not at night. We've got a corporate booking on Friday night. So if you're just worried about that, just give the observatory a call at 624-1246 to clarify that. On Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
And Sunday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Awesome. I'm sure people can head along to the Stardome website and find out more information.
Absolutely. So our last day will be open is Monday.
Nice.
And then so Tuesday we're closed, and then close right through until the 6th of January is when we will reopen.
Oh, hey, David, did you get a look at that massive ass moon the other day?
A look at what?
Did you have a look at the big ass moon the other day?
Sorry, I didn't understand your scientific nomenclature.
I'll leave the science talk to you, mate. I'll just come with the silly dumb comments. You know,
I actually missed that particular one, but yeah, I mean, generally,
some people got some great pictures on just their cell phones. It's quite impressive.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, cell phones are getting pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, really cool, eh?
They're not telescopes, though.
Hey, 100%. One day.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's good looking in the form. I mean, a crescent moon is actually even better because you get shadows, which means you can see the shape of craters and mountains. With a full moon, you can't see that because the sun's directly overhead,
okay.
So the shadows are real short.
Right, cool. Good to know.
Okay, so, yeah, looking at the moon, a crescent moon is actually...
Get a few more pimples.
And it changes from one day to the next as the shadows move across. The shapes change and you can see different... features at different phases of the moon.
Rad. Hey, well, David, on behalf of 95BFM, thank you so much for your input this year. It's been such a pleasure to be doing this segment.
Well, thank you for being such kind and interested DJs.
Mate, what could be more interesting than space? I mean, seriously.
I agree entirely.
Hey, David, a Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Yeah, and all the best to you for the best of season.
Yeah, we'll see you in the new year and hope you get what you wish for Christmas, mate.
Thanks, and to you.
Go, right, bro.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.